to Advisor Radio. My name is Sean Bailey, Editor-in-Chief, and this is a special episode, a kind of workshop marketing clinic. And I've got on the line financial advisor Jack Shin from Ridgewood, New Jersey. Jack specializes in college planning. Jack, hello. How you doing?
Good. How are you, Sean?
Doing pretty good. So what's going on, Jack?
Well, we've been doing some I call them workshops, actually, for Social Security. And I read your email that had the 11 steps. And results-wise, I think we're not doing badly. The last time we did a workshop, we actually got appointments with about 80% of the people that attended the conference. At the end of the presentation, for the first time in my life ever, I actually got a standing ovation.
And this is for delivering Social Security, uh-huh?
Yeah.
That's good. I have to say, it's not the first time I've heard it, but I'm glad that you're experiencing it. What's your sense of what was really going on with the audience that they, you know, really felt compelled to deliver the standing ovation?
Well, I think it had a lot to do with where they were at mentally. They were thinking about maybe it's time to claim their Social Security. And I think we gave them a lot of what they were looking for as far as, you know, the basics of claiming and Medicare and stuff. After my introduction, Sean, the first thing that I did with the audience was ask them generically what a few of them wanted to get out of the workshop. And so I had a flip chart in the front of the room, and a couple of people in the audience actually volunteered things they were hoping to get out of the seminar.
Great.
So we had that sitting up there, and I think that piqued their interest. It was like, oh, okay, you know, and I think that set them up to be more receptive to the workshop. I didn't use a podium. I just kind of walked around up front and
good.
I just think the whole thing went well, and based on the fact that, like I said, we booked appointments with 80 or 85% of them, something sort of to that effect. We got most of them. And I think the way we did that was we set up another flip chart in the back of the room, and we filled out Post-its and put the day and the date and the time. And we selected two or three time slots every day for the next couple of weeks where they could just go to the flip chart, pull off the time that was available for them, write their name on it, and check out.
Okay. So the flip chart in the back has your schedule of day and times with a Post-it note in the blocked area for that particular appointment.
Yep.
And somebody would pick up that Post-it note, which would have the date and time on it. And then they would come back to their seat and attach it to their appointment request form and evaluation. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. And then we had them either, if they didn't write their name on it, the person at the back door did.
Mm-hmm.
So we had who they were.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that worked really, really well. I mean, obviously we did get a whole lot of appointments out of it.
Right.
So I was happy about
great.
That. And so
By the way, let me just say one tiny thing you might want to consider in the future, and that is to have people's evaluation forms pre-filled out so that their packet is specific to them, and you know, they're not even putting their name on it. They're just attaching that thing to it and marking the other items you want, and it already says at the top, you know, Joe Blow from Ridgewood, New Jersey. Anyway,
yeah,
just a tiny
sense.
Thing.
No,
go ahead.
That's good. It's something to incorporate. So all in all, I thought it went well, but when I was reading your email with the 11 steps, you know, you go back and you say, okay, you know, I know your work, and I really thought the email was thought-provoking, and as far as me turning around and going, okay, do we do these things? Do we do the 11 steps to create an appropriate workshop, whatever you want to call it? And the one thing that really caught my attention was the branding idea. Because I'm looking at the sign that we had up for the last workshop, and it says Social Security Maximization Workshop. But it doesn't give them, I don't think it's something that's going to reach out and grab an audience for them to really understand it. Plus, the Social Security part is really a lead-in to creating an income plan during retirement.
Sure.
It's not mentioned in the title, so I need a brand name for what we're doing to give them a better idea of what to expect. So, yeah, they know they're going to expect to hear something about Social Security. They're going to get Social Security basics. They're going to get some Medicare. But at the end of the day, they're also going to get the idea that, hey, we can set up an income plan with you, because every Social Security report that I do, I ask them in the appointment, how much money do you need every month? And they give me a number.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I create the timing report, I can create the report with what Social Security is going to provide. And let's be honest, it's generally 30 to 50%
right.
of what they need,
mm-hmm.
which leads us into the next question, which is, okay, how are you going to make up the difference?
Right. Right.
And that's when we can talk about, we've got, you know, there's IRAs, 401ks, pension plans, all that stuff. So it's a process that leads you into, you need all this stuff in order to make sure that you're going to have enough money to live for the next 25, 30 years.
Right.
And that's really where we're going. But coming up with a branding name or a branding idea for that,
yep.
it's been kind of difficult.
Well, you know, the one thing that I really like a lot is referring to it as your retirement paycheck. How are you going to craft your retirement paycheck? We know Social Security, like you said, is 30 to 50%, but where does the rest come from? So that is one phrase that I think totally connects with all the audience. Everybody's totally familiar with what a paycheck is. They're, you know, painfully aware, I think, that when you stop working, one of the greatest assets that everyone has is the fact that, you know, a paycheck hits their account every 2 weeks or once a month, whatever it is. So what are your thoughts on that in terms of something using the phrase retirement paycheck?
Well, it's interesting because when I was doing something dangerous, I was mentally brainstorming with myself. And I actually thought about that this morning. It's like, what's the difference between retirement and when you're working? You lose the paycheck.
Right, right.
And that's one of those things that like popped up in my brain this morning. It's like, well, wait a minute. You know, that's a way to approach this to say, well, you don't have to lose your paycheck.
Right.
You just
right.
get it from a different source. You.
Yep.
And
yep.
I agree with you. I think that's something that everybody would connect with right away, because what's the biggest concern? Well, I'm not going to be getting income anymore.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, yes, you are. We're going to make sure that you do. More for the consultation after the workshop.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it has to be branded properly so that when the signs are up, I mean, that's what they're thinking when they come in the door.
Right.
You know, it's like, I've got to create my retirement paycheck.
Yeah. How about something like, you know, step one to crafting your retirement paycheck. So you get the Social Security thing figured out, right? You know, step two is, you know, I mean, everybody has different approaches to how they're working with clients, but I could see step two being, you know, figuring out, you know, how to minimize taxes in retirement and start taking those, you know, filling those brackets in those early retirement years, but with the conversions. And, you know, obviously step three is, you know, or part of that all is, the whole thing about how you're going to bring together Social Security and your various other assets for that paycheck, I guess. Do you do annuities? Does annuities fit into your scheme with clients?
Absolutely.
Yeah, right. So anyway, the retirement paycheck road, step one or stop one, or the retirement paycheck process, step one, Social Security, step two, something about positioning, I don't know, IRAs or, you know, or the other thing is, you know, a lot of advisors will position all this thing as a sort of a come in for a retirement income forecast. Now, some advisors coming out of the Social Security workshop don't go immediately to, you know, doing the Social Security analysis. What they say mm-hmm. is, I can't really make a recommendation until I have the bigger picture. The bigger picture meaning I need to see all, you know, I need to see what you've got. And only then can we really make a true determination as to whether you should be taking it at the taking Social Security during the penalty phase, which is, this is a big thing amount of it. Have you and I ever discussed this, Jack, the penalty versus
No.
bonus phase? So
No.
We're working on a new version of the Savvy Social Security Workshop, the core. The material is basically going to be the same, but it's going to be structured mm-hmm. differently. But one of the things that I'm really intrigued by is, you know, the public tends to always want to be early for something and never late for anything, right? And Social
right.
Security didn't do this intentionally, but, you know, they've set this thing of, you claim your retirement benefits early versus full retirement age, or claim your benefits late, right? But what's mm-hmm. really happening during those two periods, the proper broad description should be, claim during the penalty phase where you're hurting yourself X percent per year. And then the pivot point is claiming at full retirement age. And then the bonus period, the bonus years are from, you know, full retirement age to 70. So if you position it to people like, I don't want anybody in here unknowingly or unthinkingly claiming Social Security during the penalty phase if they absolutely don't have to. I want all of you to claim to the greatest degree possible during the bonus period from full retirement age to age 70. And that, you know, the public can glom onto penalties and bonuses, and it's much more in sync with what's actually happening versus the confusing early versus late, right?
Yeah. And my two cents on that is always to the audience, you know, when you claim is going to be dictated by your situation.
Of course.
It's always better the later you claim. However, in some cases,
obviously,
that's not possible.
Right. Right.
You know, so
right.
You have to at least go into it. And I don't know. I tend to like using Social Security to get into it because at the very beginning of the talk, I go through all of the different things, the challenges that people are going to have in retirement. Things like, you know, what the effect of taxes and healthcare costs increasing and the cost of living increasing and your money isn't increasing or keeping up with the cost of living. And I even go into, you know, the kids come home from college and they want to live home for a couple of years. That's an expense.
Yep.
And so I kind of go into all that stuff up front. And I think, I don't know, from my perspective, it just seems to make more sense to go from, you know, what they're there for is I don't know a thing about this thing called Social Security.
Right.
And to do an explanation of that and then lead it into, and this is where we're going to.
Right.
I don't know why, but it seemed to make some sense to the audience. So,
Jack, and I think that explains your 80%, because what you're doing when you're stopping and looking at all those things is you're unpacking the problem, right? Because the problem is that Social Security is complicated. And people are, you're seeing people make mistakes by claiming in an illogical way or in a hurtful way or in a way that they haven't thought through all the consequences of it. Okay. And then, as you said, you step back and you look at all those different things, the taxes, the other expense, the medical expenses, the family situation. And this is something I'm trying to get more and more advisors to do, and more of our presentations are being structured in this manner, which is that we're presenting the core problem of the topic in the presentation, and then instead of immediately running into all the different solutions, you're holding back and you're spending some time unpacking that problem, looking at that problem of people are hurting themselves by claiming too early, and looking at all the knock-on effects of that mistake. And when you do that, especially early on in your presentation, you're really, you're feeding into your audience's brain the importance of the topics and the consequences of making a mistake. You've got their attention right away. And I bet, for one thing, that really explains your 80% result, because from there, once you put out all those stuff there, people are realizing, wow, yeah, I knew that Social Security was complicated. I had never thought about some of these other aspects of the problem, which I had never even seen crystallized in black and white for me. People claim too soon and hurt themselves, leave a lot of money on the table, and it has all these consequences. When you do that, you're stirring some emotions in your audience in a proper way, because you're syncing up with their brains on the topic at hand, and then you marshal what is going on from there, because you've established now, you've gotten their attention, you're starting to establish your credibility, and as you move through the rest of the presentation, your credibility is building, their trust is rising. Any thoughts that they've had about, oh my God, I'm not sure if I want to go and see an advisor, I'm not ready, or what's going to happen if I go to the office? By the end, you've explained that that this is all very individual for each family, and that's why you're inviting people to come in for this one-on-one meeting to get their own specific analysis. And the audience is motivated to act, and that's why you got 80%. I'm telling you, that's why I think you got 80% sign-up rate.
Well, and I do stress, again, at the beginning, that no matter how many people are in the room, there's no two families that are the same. So everybody is individual. Everybody is different. And just to open up, I don't do the hi, this is Jack Shane, yada, 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 because I read that in your 11 points. What I do is I just stand in front of the room and don't say anything. And I hold up a dollar bill. Okay.
Yeah.
And then I start folding it. I start folding it. So I say, this is a dollar bill, but this represents everything that you save for retirement. And I start folding it. I say, okay, here's the taxes, and I'll fold it in half. And then I'll say, well, and here's health care, and I'll fold it again. And I'll keep folding it until I end up with this little, quarter
little
half
wad of a dollar.
of a dollar, and say, so these are the dollars you're actually going to have to work with after taking out all this stuff. And what we're going to do is explain what we can do to maximize the dollars you have to do that. So I don't do that. It was interesting that you said that. I don't start out with, I just stand there and look at them.
That's a good way to go, for sure.
Yeah, until I've got their attention. And then I just start out with, what is this? And I look at them, and I'm holding up a dollar bill. And I don't know why, but it gets them involved right away. They're like, oh.
No, it's good. Visual props like that are good when done properly. And you did it properly because it wasn't something that you then handed to the audience and passed around and let them look at it in distraction. This is very, very short, but you absolutely made the point. That little point that you're demonstrating there visually in the Social Security presentation is actually key idea number one in the new Savvy Tax Planning presentation on how taxes change in four stages of retirement. And the first key of that presentation is to let the public know that you shouldn't retire until you understand that the $500,000 you've saved for retirement isn't really $500,000. You're in a joint venture with the government, and you're the general partner, but the limited partner is the government. But they've got that claim of 30% or whatever. So your $500,000 is closer to $300,000, and then you shouldn't pull the trigger on retiring until you realize that. And that's how we start the presentation on, how taxes change through four stages of retirement, too. So it is a great opener.
I guess the bottom line is it worked. So, as part of my post-seminar, my post-workshop evaluation, it was like, okay, the opening was good. They got out of it what I wanted to, and I got their attention.
Yes. Good.
And then, during the presentation, of course, as I'm going through it, I don't have a memorized script. I don't believe in it.
Good.
But I mean, I have my little notes that I have in my hand or on the table or whatever.
Right.
But I do sprinkle in examples, actual case histories. Like when I get to spousal claiming, I can actually talk about a case where we were able to provide a family with an extra $1,500 worth of a monthly income just because the wife didn't realize she could claim her benefit.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's something that, like, you could actually see them sit up in their chairs like, whoa.
Yeah, the personal stories. That's really great.
I only do three or four of them, but thankfully we've had enough success and enough exposure in the practice to actually have case histories we can talk about, which I think, they're like hugely important.
I agree totally. And by the way, when we do our Social Security workshops, and for anyone listening, our next one's going to be in San Diego, May 9 and 10. One of the points I make in that workshop is that you got to tell stories to sort of punctuate, the key points of your presentation. And you've got these cases directly from your own experience, and everybody will have them eventually. But if you're just starting out, it's perfectly fine to say something like this. A colleague of mine was telling me about a client he had who came in, and she was a divorced woman, and she didn't know. And then you go on to tell the story about how she didn't know that she could claim on the Social Security record of her ex-husband, Daddy Warbucks, who she divorced 30 years ago, but they were married for more than 10 years. And that when she had come in, my colleague said, she was getting like $800 or $900 a month and really just getting by in retirement. And then when we discovered that she could be claiming on her ex-spouse, suddenly she was getting $2,500 a month, and her life changed. Now, you're telling the story that you've learned from your colleague, but your audience doesn't. You just say that, but they don't care. It's the story about the woman that goes into their brain. So for those starting out that don't have the case studies like you, like the real experience that you have, it's perfectly fine to borrow stories, from other people, and works just as well.
It's interesting if you're watching your audience, and I'm an eye watcher. I watch their eyes because that's given me all the information I need. And you could see there were three or four moments there in the presentation that were aha moments for them, where you could see they connected with what they had just heard.
Yep.
And again, the yield at the end sort of confirmed that. You know, because if they hadn't been interested, we wouldn't have had that many appointments after the workshop.
Yes, yes. And that's really great. Let me ask you this question. How many times did you make reference to the fact that you would be offering people the chance to come in for this customized, one-on-one analysis?
Probably no more than if it was five, it was a lot. I would say somewhere between three and five, probably.
Well, you got 80%. I know somebody who occasionally gets 100%, and he makes reference to it 17 times in his presentation. So think about that next time you give it and see if you can. See if you can get up over 80. And let me tell you, I mean, Jack, 80 is fantastic. Anybody out there is listening, 50, 70% is what a lot of people get. But by the way, I think they get that because they're not paying as much attention as they should to key points along the way in their presentation. They're not taking advantage of doing the things that one should do to motivate the audience to act. But obviously, you have done that and done it well, Jack. So that's good. Excellent, in fact.
Well, I tend to think so. And it was, I was happy with structurally the way it went, but I am making your email part of me by going over and going through it. And I've actually got an outline here for the things that I think we need to do a little bit better, because I don't have all the answers. I just have all the questions.
You want
them to be impactful. You want to make a difference to these people, and I mean, I'm still jaded enough to feel like the goodness that we do for people is just far outweighs anything else. I mean, yeah, we make money at it and all that other good stuff, but when you hear people, when they look at you and go, man, I couldn't have done this without you, or you've made a terrific impact and like that, especially for instance with the college stuff and that email that I got,
right?
And that knocked me off my chair. I wasn't ready for that.
Yeah,
and and that's why I said to you. And why do I do this? Why do we do these workshops? That's why.
Jack, could you explain to our listeners what you're talking about relating to the letter and how it relates to the work you do in college planning?
Yeah, what we do with college planning is we take families through the process of college planning using the Savvy College Planning Plan, if you will. And so we give workshops in that also. And I guess a year and a half or so ago, we did a workshop, and one of the families that decided they wanted to work with us had a daughter, and we worked closely with the family. And it was an interesting case because families' estimated family contribution, which is the number that they expect to pay when we go through all of the nuts and bolts, was quite low. So there was a huge need for them to make sure that we could find them some decent, efficient funding opportunities. So we did, but I worked exclusively. I ended up working almost exclusively with the daughter because she had better knowledge of the computer. It was her education. The parents did what they could, but it was really between the daughter and I. So we worked very closely on it. We went through the whole thing. She ended up getting accepted to the school that she wanted to, and it ended up being a very, very efficient selection for the family as far as their costs. And like Melanie and I became, like distant uncle and niece during the process. We went to her going away party and all that stuff. And so she's now in college, and she's a Dean Lister, and she's just doing really well. And this week I got an email from her, and it was just her going over the process that we had gone through and thanking me for what I had instilled in her during the process, as well as the efforts that I had done. And it was basically her read on how we provided our service to her. And it was an extremely thoughtful email, and it got some emotions going.
Well, I mean, you know, for our listeners, let me just say, I mean, she said that you had a major, you know, that you're a major person in her life because you worked with her family and found a way for her to go to college when I think maybe there was a time when they weren't sure exactly whether they'd be able to afford it or not. And you came in and you relieved a huge burden from that family's shoulders and from that young woman. And here she is 2 years later contacting you, still thanking you for it. So there you go, right? What can you say?
Yeah, and you know what? You know what the bottom line of that is with the search between their numbers and the search process and the school we found. The family actually ended up paying $1,700 a year for her college. So at the
that
end
is
of
so
the day,
good.
I mean,
yeah.
At the end of the day, you know, that's a year, so it's like $850 a semester or something.
Right.
And,
right.
That was
right.
Affordable for the family, but you know, their numbers had a lot to do with it too.
Yeah, right, of course. But also, it makes another very good point about the college planning program for any advisor out there who's looking for a niche and a way to meet families who can ultimately also become clients. One of the things that you learn in the Savvy College Planning Program is that college, despite everything we've heard about high expenses and huge competition and everything, college is actually a buyer's market. And you have, when parents, when an advisor is working with parents and the parents learn that, and what do I mean by a buyer's market? I mean that the colleges have seats they need to fill and they're desperate to get people and they're open to, you know, dramatically reducing the cost of tuition for families, both for merit and financial purposes. And, there's a friend in our family and their daughter's a senior and I know the family's fairly well off and everything. And, you know, she's a good student, but not a great student, but she has a very interesting background. And I just learned last night that she got 50% off their tuition. And they were just thrilled
Excellent.
To pieces about it. So, you know, it happens, but, you know, families need guidance. And so the college planning piece is a huge opportunity for advisors as well. So
you're absolutely right. It's as bad, I think, as understanding Social Security. It's just nobody knows the process or what to do.
So yeah.
You just walk them through. You know, Lynn always says, cast a wider net. That's what we did. We said, well, I said to her, well, what's your major going to, what do you want to major in? And she told me. And then we actually used some of the materials in Savvy College Planning and went out and started, you know, what geographical area are you looking for? Let's dump out some schools and let's cross-reference the schools in that area that have that major and they're in the states that you want. And we really went through quite an analysis of what was available. And this school just popped up, and it was like, wow, you know, it was like, you know, who knew? But that's what you have to do. You know, you've got to figure
yep.
out what they're trying to accomplish. You help them accomplish it. And again, at the end of the day, I just, you know, however many schools you want us to look into, I mean, we'll do that with you, and we'll show you how to do the net price, and we'll show you how to, you know, actually, you know, figure out what it's going to cost you versus what it's going to cost.
Right.
Because what it's going to cost you is almost never what they say it's going to cost on their website.
Right.
And then you can show them that.
You've really demonstrated in our conversation, we've talked about Social Security, we've talked about college planning. But what you're really demonstrating to me is a key point I make to advisors about positioning themselves as a financial educator. Because when you look at all the different aspects of retirement and how they intersect with, frankly, you know, major institutions in society that have complex rules and hidden penalties or opportunities that the public doesn't know about, and when you, the financial educator, are able to go out and talk about these things and educate the public and then bring in families and apply these insights that you have, these professional insights, these knowledgeable and considered opinions that you have developed by working on cases in these areas, it works just fantastically. And let me say, it's not just Social Security. it's also Medicare, because Medicare is hugely complex, and every year it's complex. Okay. And it's also IRAs. There are IRAs. It's like, it's unbelievable how complex all the IRAs are. And then it's also just taxes in general and retirement, which really brings, you know, Social Security and Medicare and IRAs and long-term care and even college planning into the big picture. And so in all of these cases, the advisor as financial educator is best served by serving the public and educating them about things they don't know about that would otherwise hurt them. And when they're in a room with you, in with other people, and their eyes are opened, they are motivated to come in for that one-on-one meeting. And then if you just, you know, comport yourself like you always have as a, you know, as a well-intentioned professional, the business just flows from there, and referrals. So, I mean, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I just don't get why more people, more advisors who are looking to grow their business and are looking for new client growth, you know, aren't putting themselves out there as financial educators on some key topics in their community. But Jack, you are obviously, and hats off to you. Is there anything else that we should be discussing in our little clinic meeting here, Jack?
As we're speaking, I'm just wondering about branding for the college stuff. I'm kind of running that around in my brain too, because it's, you know, it's just as important as half what I do.
Right.
You know, and it dovetails because we're doing the same thing. What are we doing with Social Security? We're trying to show them the costs of retiring and how to generate income, and the college planning is the same thing. What are we doing? We're trying to show them the costs associated with attending various schools, and, you know, what does it mean to them, and what can they do, and how do they file, and it's really much the same thing. But it's, the last time we ran a college, I think we said college. How can I afford this? Was the actual name of the workshop. Not in love with it, but you know, it's what we came up with. But just because we're having a branding discussion, and I think I like what we talked about. I like the retirement paycheck idea, if you don't mind me using that. By the way,
not at all. And believe me, I didn't come up with it either. I heard that about 5 years ago, but it has never escaped my brain. Once I heard it, I was like, that is a good one. So,
or some variation of that, not too far away from that, but something of that ilk. But and the same thing goes for college. I mean, it needs to. I need to be able to brand it properly to make sense to them and to me, so they know what they're getting into before they really even walk in the room.
Right. Yeah. And so, you know, in terms of we should review perhaps another time. But you know, I mean, the presentations that you're putting on from the program are, you know, I think that those the topics of those presentations are fairly compelling. Now, I know we're in the process of going back and reviewing them and checking ourselves as to whether we think they're absolutely the best. But I mean, what's out there right now is 6 ways to cut the cost of college. And another one is called An Inside Look at Qualifying for Financial Aid. But I've been playing around with some other things like Surviving the College Funding Pressure Cooker, 8 Keys to Avoid Overpaying. Okay. But those are titles, but you're talking about wanting to brand a process. And you know, you can, you know, sit back and think about what you're doing on the college front. And how many steps, you know, maybe it's the Jack Shin the Jack Shin college planning process or something. I don't know. But here's something you should think about in terms of trying to, and we can bat this around another time. But I think a good title for anything for branding purposes ought to have an element of urgency, an element of uniqueness. It ought to be ultra specific and, of course, useful. So when we talk about things like not overpaying for college, boy, that's unique and that's useful. When we say 6 ways to cut college costs, so it's being ultra specific. An inside look at qualifying for financial aid as a follow-up presentation, it kind of fits the 4 U's. So as you're thinking about crafting a phrase for, you know, your college services, you know, you should keep the 4 U's in mind. And if you come up with a few ideas, shoot them my way and we can bat them around and tighten them up, see if we can come up with something that you like.
Yeah, I will do that. I'm going to work on that. But first I got to do Social Security, because as I mentioned to you, we have a presentation
now you got a bunch
coming up.
Yeah, yeah, Yeah. Yeah. And you got a bunch 40, of appointments 40, too.
40 payroll managers sitting in a room doing a presentation. I mean, to me, that's, ooh. I'm going to have to tailor the presentation obviously a little bit differently, but
yeah, right.
at the end of the day, it's what they want. So, you know, we'll go in and, you know, there's 40 major corporations are sending their payroll managers to this meeting. So it's a wow. good group to get in front of.
Oh my God. That could be your business for the rest of your life at this point.
Yeah,
if you get five of them who agree that, hey, you should come in and do presentations four times a year to our retirees or pre-retirees, that's, and take that one to the bank.
I think that's the goal at the end of the day,
right?
To be providing services to their company, whether it's, I mean, who the heck knows? Maybe they need corporate health care. I mean, I don't know what they need right now, but it's got to be something to let them know that we're here and we can work together to do it. Again, I'm just crashing it around in my brain. I'm working on an outline now for how I want to present.
Yeah.
Because it's like 3 weeks away, so it's like time to get busy with it. Because you can't do this on the fly. It has to
right.
be.
Right. No, I mean, it's a great opportunity. So you really want to, you want to slam dunk with this one for sure. Yeah. And
well, they agree with the topic. So, you know, now it's a matter of filling in the blanks and making.
Well, I mean, yeah, the key thing is for you to connect now with individually with these people. And 40 is a lot. So you ought to think about how you're going to set up what device or manner you're going to use to get the follow up. Maybe it's like it's not too different from the evaluation appointment form for you to follow up and talk with them about opportunities for you to come and deliver, you know, a different version of that presentation to the people in their workplace. Could be very good. Could be very good.
Yeah. Well, and I'm told a number of them are also approaching 60. So.
Okay, they're interested personally as well. Yeah, of course. Yeah,
I kind of think that has something to do with the invitation too. Yeah, I think a lot of them said, "We, you know, let's
we want let's that for ourselves some, first. Yeah,
get some right. free info. You know,
right? Yep.
But yeah.
All right, Jack. Well, good, and let's stay in touch. I want to know how the results go with your 80% sign up from that workshop the other night, and then mm-hmm. I want to see how things go with this. This presentation in front of these payroll managers, that could be really good too. So thanks so much. Yeah. Thanks so much for coming on, Jack. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for the invite, and I'm sure we'll be talking down the road, Sean.
You've been listening to Jack Shin, an advisor from Ridgewood, New Jersey. He's been talking about some great successes he's been having in putting on Social Security workshop and putting on college planning workshops. Jack's got two great things going in his business. My name is Sean Bailey. I'm editor-in-chief at Horse's Mouth. Thanks for listening.